Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. Hey, hey, hi, hi. Listen, we're on the air right now, and I'm so happy that you guys are up, ready to go for the global vision for living today. Hey, without no vision, scripture says people perish. And without a vision, how can you know where you're even going? One thing you will know is that you're going to perish without the knowledge that is needed for living today. Let me tell you something. We're not going to say, oh, you know, how crazy it is, and the people are ravenous, you know, they're no good, they don't know what they're doing. This is not what this show is about. This show is about letting you know that there's someone bigger than you that cares about you and that has put his own son on the line to make sure whatever man started, he would be the reversal. We're going to have a show called The Reversal. Everyone needs to reverse something in their life. Everyone needs to talk to someone else so that they can reverse something in their life. People need to know that no matter what they've done, there is a deliverer. But they've got to reverse their way. They've got to reverse their walk. Hey, you guys, is God your everything? Well, that's what the topic is today, part two. Is God your everything? I want to say he's my everything, but if I say it and I don't walk the walk, then he is not my everything. If I'm not doing some of the things that he's already told mankind to do, then you know what? I'm telling the world that he's really not my everything. If there's something I should be doing, but I'm too hungry to do it because, hey, I don't want to do it. I don't really believe. It's not about your belief. It's about what God says. It's not about how you feel. It's about his edicts to mankind from heaven to earth. Oh, my God. Is God your everything? Well, I tell you what, you're going to learn today that if he's not, you got to get on your stick. You got to start moving for God in the right direction. But how can you do that if you don't know anything about him, if you just heard something, if someone just told you something? But when you apply how you feel about God and what you will not put in front of him or ahead of him, oh, my God, yay, you're on to some good times here on earth. I see we have Colonel Harrison, our co-host, that has joined us for 179 starting today's shows. Oh, I don't even know how I did that. I don't even know how you guys listen. But right now, Colonel Harrison, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Dr. Carpentino. I pray that you are doing equally well in the listening audience. It's just good to be a part of the show again.
Well, you know, we welcome you, and I thank you for that. But, you know, if something's wrong going on the earth. You know, you have lots of sanctuaries going to be open tomorrow. You're going to have a lot of synagogues. You're going to have a lot of everything that has to do with God. It might not be to full capacity, but you're going to have some people marching, running, crawling, trying to get in a church door. Does that necessarily mean that God is their everything? I know people say, oh, well, you can't speak for me. I'm not trying to speak for you. I don't want to speak for you. The thing is that we want to hear from Colonel Harrison today, since he's a pastor. And I guess he will have his doors open tomorrow. But does that necessarily mean that God is everything because they're walking in the church and they're sitting in there and they are hearing about God? I hope they know what his name is. But the thing is, does that mean that everyone walking in has made the proclamation that God is their everything?
Excellent question, Dr. Carpentino. And it requires two responses from me. Number one, the Psalm 83:18, God, Jehovah, is supposed to be mankind to everything, man, woman, and child, because he's the creator. I'm reminded of a scripture as I answer, give you the first answer and then the second. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those things we desire, God said, if we seek him first, find out who he is first, reverence him, worship him, serve him, then he'll bless us with some of the desires of our heart. So there are people that come to church, yes, that come to worship God, Jehovah. That's number one, sincerely. I believe there's another category that comes to worship God out of family tradition. Mother, father took them to church, and now they're in church because their mother and father took them to church. So I call that church members who attend church out of tradition. Then there's a third group that I believe attends church that's seeking and trying to find their way and find the answer of how they can improve and turn their lives around. So it's about three groups that I've identified that come to church and attend church for those three reasons. But God wants us primarily to attend church because he's God, and to worship him, reverence him, honor him, and make him our everything. Primarily, nothing else, no other exception, no tradition, no coming to try to find it. I don't find what I want and go back out into the world. Those three before us for our consideration.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly need consideration, because right now in America, it is saying that church membership or church fellowship or church visitation is down to less than 30%. Now, that's a lot from the Founding Fathers' decree when they signed the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. I wish I could stay on that Constitution, because many don't even understand it. They've heard it. They don't know what it is. Does it apply to me? So since that is the case, is that saying that the parents or grandma is still talking about God in the household if hardly anybody is going? And you did mention the tradition. Many are going there because they get scared to die. Now, I used to hear that as a child. Oh, I had nowhere else to go on Sunday. Oh, you know what? The government shut the beaches down, but I'm still not going to church. You know, there's many reasons that we could call on why God really is not a person's everything. You got to be taught about God and understand who he is before we can even declare, oh, he's my everything. You know, there's a song out that I really like by that title, Is God Your Everything? Why would a person that don't know anything about God, pastor standing up in there joking and trying to get his laugh on and all of that, why would anyone want to make God, this Psalm 83, God their everything, if they're not taught, have not been taught, and don't care to be taught? Just let me sit down and listen. And act like the book of Acts, and act like I am interested in God. I mean, oh, that doesn't sound very good. So right now, what is it going to take? Let's just name three things. You know, we love the mighty three things. What do you think a person would have to do to make God their everything? Now, I'm not talking about the ones that don't know anything about him, because we already know from lesson after lesson that they've got to learn something about him. They've got to know something about him, not come in the church doors for a show. Oh, I came in. I'm bringing my tithes. Get out of there. Get out and don't come back. If that's the attitude of some, and some pastors really are saying that, you don't come in here for that. You come in here to learn how to make God your everything, because he's not going to accept your offering. Read Isaiah. He is not going to prolong your life. Read Jeremiah. He's going to have you crying morning, noon, and night. Read Lamentations. Here, we can walk ourselves through the scripture and show why God needs to be our everything. But first thing first, we've got to learn about him. Do we just run out into the street we just run into any church that got a door open. Oh, my God. I was reading where this week most now are teaching socialism, fascism, and very few of them, the same report said, go in there with the Bible. Pastors standing up there, but they coming in with them, and most of all, some of them on the Bible on the cell phone. Oh, we're messed up. How, let's start with one item of interest, Colonel Hassan. What is one thing a person has to do first before he can make God his everything? Now, this is part two. We've already covered some of what we're going to talk about today. But what is the first thing a person has to do if he's interested in making God his everything?
First thing, Dr. Capitino, one has to do to make God their everything. This is a person that know God, but God is not first in their life, and God is not the priority. They have to make God their priority. They have to put God first in their lives. We put certain things and certain people.
Okay. I think I just heard something. Let me ask the question again. What is the first thing that a person has to do before he can make God his everything? The first thing. What is the first thing that a person has to do? They don't know him and has not studied him, never went into a church on his own volition. Why would he go if he don't know anything about him? So what is the first thing if a person is interested in making God their everything? What is the first thing a person naturally and normally know to do? What does he need before he can do that? He's not, you know, the average person isn't going to wake up in the morning and say, oh, you know what, I think I need God. The average person is not going to do that. Now, you may have some on the run from the law. You may have some on the way to prison. You may have some standing behind a jail cell bar. But what is the first thing that God would require a person to do in order to even think about making God their everything?
Seek God. Seek God through prayer. Search for God through prayer.
Well, now here's another problem with that. What if they don't know who they're praying to? Certainly, if they don't know the qualities and attributes of the one and only true God of the universe, that's not the one they're going to. No one is just going to wake up and say, oh, well, Jehovah, I think I want to know him. What? Old Hebrew name, what? There's something else a person needs to do when he decides to make God his everything. And you already, in one of our prior lessons, you've already said this.
Turn around. Turn around from what I'm doing and make God first. Turn away from things that distracted me, that taking my attention away from focusing on God and putting my attention on God. So the Bible calls it repentance, but the simple definition is to turn around and give God first-hand attention.
Well, okay, that sounds very good, but we're at a crossroad there. I don't know which God I need to deal with. I don't know what God I should even be wasting my time dealing with. I don't know. So I think the word knowledge. If a person wants to make God their everything, they've got to have a reason to do it. So that takes us all back to the fact that people need to be taught about God. They have got to come to a realization, number one, my life ain't right. Number two, I'm not living my life in the way that I think a God, invisible God, would want me to. So So you're on that right track by saying they've got to repent. But if they don't think that they need to do anything, why should I repent? And I don't even know that I'm doing the wrong thing. I don't know if you're doing the right thing. So basically, a person would have to first realize knowledge about God. They need to know what the true God's name is. So right now, I'm on a teaching format for a person to want to make God their everything. They have got to know, K-N-O-W, they've got to have knowledge. The scripture says that people might know. That's the Psalm 83. That's the answer right there, because it starts off saying that people may know. Okay, so where are the knowledge keepers? Where are the people that now standing in the pulpit playing and joking? And you know what? I heard someone almost an hour make some announcement. Ain't nothing sitting in that church that important to have somebody stand up and read off some announcements. But I think it was almost an hour they standing up there with that nonsense. Ain't nothing and nobody that important that they've got to waste people's time with a bunch of announcements that you will not find that in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. All of these special days, all of this, when they should, hallelujah, be out there on the corner. Talk about that. That's how people can put a focus on making God the everything. Someone said just driving down the street, and I saw some witnesses on the corner. I looked over on the other side. They was walking into a store. Just that will cause people, and they said it. I've heard it with decades. You know, I saw him standing there, so I got to thinking about God. Oh, I saw him walking there. They had a smile on their face, so I was thinking, well, you know what? Maybe I should be them. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. I wasn't in that sect. But when they knocked on that door, Jehovah's Witnesses, and my mom and sister started making a joke out of them and all that, I felt hurt. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know anything about them. But after they did that, I ran in the kitchen and I looked out the window and I saw them with their little faces down. About six of them standing all in a circle, and it was a man there. I guess the man was saying something's pointing. Just seeing that, I said, when I get a little older, I am going to become one of them. Because I saw that. I saw how they were out there. They cared. And that was in Watts. It wasn't in Bel Air. And I said, you mean to tell me they out there? I don't know what that was. But just the fact that she wouldn't let the man to study. Oh, God, I sure wish she had her. Oh, Lord. But people have got to see an example. See an example. My father said they'd rather see a sermon than sit up there and hear it, because you got to come back next week and hear almost the same thing. So can we say that for a person to make God their everything, they've got to know something about that particular one? Can we safely say that these people have got to be taught? So if we got a group of about 100 people, they ain't teaching nobody, sitting decade after decade, ain't telling nobody nothing. If they have been sitting there 2 years and got a household of seven, where's them seven at? They crimping on into the church. Hopefully not the big. So right now, here's the key. Whoever is in charge of the charge of God, they have got to be teaching people. And I don't know how long they think it's going to take, once a week, one Sunday sermon, and you got 66 books of the Bible. And some of these try to cram Genesis to Revelation all in 1 hour sermon. Ignorance to do that. And in the meantime, they've got to eat, sleep, live, and die. I mean, I don't know how they do it. systematically, the best thing to do it would be to get out of there. Get out of there and meet these people where they are. You're not going to meet the drug addict and all them collectively. You might have one hungry one stumble in to a place of ministry. But you cannot get around. Yeah, you cannot get around. And he said, by this you will know my disciples, that they have love amongst themselves. And what's the best way to share love? You got to get out there and be seen trying to get in a door. You got to be seen with your Bible under your armpit. You have got to be seen smiling, and you see him waving at people. I mean, where are the other ones at? And, hey, you guys, I see your hands up. I see a few claps. Yeah, because you know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. That's where you meet them all. Very seldom is someone going to come into church and commit suicide, kill themselves. But out there, you see it all. You knock on doors and the door open. Man done standing over his wife then shot her. You got to back out of there and start running for one of those elders. And they running, two, three of them together. You tell them, oh, yeah, he shot. They know somebody's in there based on your testimony. They ain't scared. They running right up in there, whether you got a gun or not. I mean, what is this at? No wonder the whole generation, almost two, is lost. They ain't going to find the two, drive them down and say, oh, yeah, I guess that church is right. You know what? God is your everything. You are going to have to know something about him. No joke and no anniversary. I don't know what they have in them now. I hear and I see. Nothing of that has nothing to do with God. But they done got so strapped up and so worldly, in fact. Anything go now, what they have in that service over there, 3:30. You know, I used to get told my father, he rest in his grave. I wouldn't even talk about that, 3:30. You know what? I was glad when they said, let me come to the house of the Lord, because I wasn't going there. I know that wasn't see anybody prancing down an aisle and all that. Help me, God. Colonel Harrison, what are some of the other ways a person can make God their everything besides getting to know him? And they got to be taught.
Yeah, getting to know him. You mentioned knowledge, and that's a good one, Dr. Copatino. The Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So getting to know him, and after you acquire knowledge of God, then you have to find a place or a group of people to worship God with, so you can learn more about him. Yes, you get knowledge
of
who he is. But
Wait, Colonel Harrison, how are they going to find them? I see some thumbs down. How can a person that don't know God, at first you got to know about him before you decide to make everything. So how are they going to do that? What is it? The guy that was castrated, he told Philip, he said, well, how am I going to learn unless I'm taught? So these people are not going to just wake up and start thinking about God. Is there anything else? If they're going to get to know him, they have got to be taught. Jesus, master teacher. I mean, there's the word teach and taught is in the Bible over 200 times. Oh, so God, Jehovah, stresses, you have got to know me. Don't run up in here off a drug high and sit up in here because you say, oh, well, you know, I guess the church, you know, well, if they're at church, they will say about God. They don't know anything about that God. So they might go out of there with a little something, but that knowledge, one word leads to another in the Bible. So how are we going to fix that? How are they going to wake up and know what they should know to increase their knowledge about God? You're not going to serve nothing you don't know anything about. You're certainly not going to go walking down the street, put your life on the line. Little kids, teenagers, pregnant women, all of them on the street. And the others waiting for a particular day to open up and say something, not show nothing, because they can't do nothing but talk, not saying something. How are they going to know without being taught? I know you have a do you have a teaching campaign in your ministry, Colonel Henderson, Dr. Henderson?
Yes, yes, we have a teaching campaign in the ministry. Teaching is a very important part and component of the ministry, teaching people about God, so they will develop or learn knowledge about God and who He is, which will lead to them having the desire to know more about God.
Yeah. Well, what can help a person's desire to know about God? Only through teaching. Oh, you know what? I didn't know that about that God. I never knew that. I heard that Jehovah name. I didn't know nothing about that. I thought that was a witness thing. Well, some of the churches have lied and told them that, oh, we don't have to mention his name, blah, blah, blah. I heard people say that. They called and told me things like that. So right now, for a person to make God is everything, we found out he's number one. He's got to know something about the real, true God, who he called him himself, Jehovah. First of all, to make him everything, number one, you got to know something about him. Colonel mentioned that. And number two, you've also got to, well, really, I would say recognizing that he's almighty really should be that. But you got, I don't think there's anything, by the way, of two and three. I think the first thing for a person to make God everything, they've got to know something about him. So you have a teaching campaign in your ministry. Is that true, Colonel Harrison?
Yes, yes. There's a teaching campaign, called Bible Study. Teaching campaign also is done during the prayer line 5 days a week, Bible study once a week. And there are certain ones that teach the Word of God from Bible books, various books of the Bible, the chapters of the Bible, and various scriptures of the Bible, to give people better knowledge, understanding as to who God is and why he is who he is and what he expects us to do in relationship to who he is.
Okay. Do most people on prayer lines, there's a very popular one here. His name is James Kincaid. James K. Kincaid. You know, I think maybe that's why some of them listen to him, but you know, he's pretty good. But once these people are taught, is there anyone that will teach them also to go out and minister on what they are praying for and praying about? Once they pray and their prayer is answered, what does a person do? That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go out and start teaching their grandchildren about God. What are they going to do? Because that's the only reason why, according to Jesus, those 12 were assembled. He called them because he needed help with them to learn about his Father who is in heaven. He said, he and I are one. And then to take it throughout Judea, Samaria, Athens. I mean, that's common sense to know. Not to just sit up and try to get some knowledge, and you go back home. You don't do a thing with it. The people are still out there dying while we drive away from our churches. I'm including me. And that's something Jehovah approves of. Just sit up and learn. You don't do nothing with it. Sit up praying. You're not honoring what you're praying about because you don't know who you're praying to. Hallelujah, glory to God. Colonel Harrison, as the pastor of Second Union Baptist Church there in the metropolitan D.C. area, look it up, please. If you are interested in hearing more from Colonel Hanson or myself, as you know, we're on this show every week, and you can tell we know what we're talking about. Here, I'm going to knock on some. Here, I'm knocking on my head there. This is no joke. We're not standing around to get an accolade, because tomorrow we may be there. Anyone interested in hearing more about God becoming your everything? Part three next week. Tune in next week. And, of course, we will be ready again with the Word of God. God bless you. Hallelujah. See you next week. Thank you, Colonel Harrison. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You're welcome.